All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Good afternoon. I'm Tycho Peterson from the Life Science team. It's my pleasure to introduce Quanterix. We'll do a breakout right after in the Yorkshire Room. And with that, let me turn it over to Kevin.
Thank you very much, Tycho. It's always a pleasure to be here. We've got some exciting news to discuss today representing Quanterix. Before starting, please consult your regulatory filings before investing in our stock. Today, I'm going to discuss two things around the company. One is we have a pretty incredible story over the last 5 years in the research side where we're executing, and it's a pretty strong execution story. Today, we'll further build upon that because we will give some revenue indication of our Q4 performance. But I also want to talk about some aspiration around diagnostics and some of the ways we think we can disrupt moving forward and some of the compelling logic that we're going to be using this year to further evolve that part of our story. We'll talk about our progress in 2019 and lay out the goals, and we have a lot of growth catalysts for the execution side of our strategy for 2020. Starting with execution, I consider it to be a short to midterm story, low-risk research value creation. We didn't have any revenue really 5 years ago, and we're going to have $57 million this year, or last year, 2019. We have a lot of validation, 650 third-party peer-reviewed publications now. We also, 23 of the top 25 pharmas, nearing 1,000 phase I, II, III trials using the technology for getting drugs approved. We feel there's very low regulatory and reimbursement risk in this segment. Proven management team, an incredible board. The founder of Illumina founded Quanterix, David Walt, really an incredible person that's on my board. A very strong scientist that's actually deploying the technology on many different fronts right now. We have a very strong economic profile, and we're very early stage in this story and into research. Solid balance sheet, raised $120 million this year. We have multiple growth catalysts going into 2020. We actually have a lot of investors that are trying to get pharma drugs approved for their pharma assets that they own, and that's helped us actually from a business development. Many of our investors really give us great leads and are part of our business development. Powering Precision Health is an independent summit that we run each year. We just ran it in Barcelona, standing room only with all of our KOLs as well as investors attending. Strong IP, and we have some next-generation roadmap to get to another 100x in sensitivity improvement, which will allow us differentiation to continue. But on the right-hand side, we think there's a strong possibility to significantly improve value creation as we evolve some of the learnings of this body of evidence into Precision Health. We believe that we have this disruptive sensitivity, not just in proteomics, but we can also do it in DNA and RNA. And we have now regained all of our rights back from bioMérieux. 100% of those rights are back. We know we can do blood-based, low-cost testing with high strategic optionality. We are looking at a neuro toolkit, doing what typically has been done in cerebral spinal fluid, doing it in blood very productively with strong correlations. We're going to talk about that. Also, we think we have the possibility of moving productively into liquid biopsies as well as single cell, and also rescuing drugs. We've been listening a lot to Biogen working on the aducanumab Alzheimer's drug. They're one of our large customers, having strong biomarker capability to get to disease cohorts sooner and earlier, long before symptoms, can help get a drug approved. So in the short term, we think that in this diagnostic field, there's going to be a strong LDT opportunity, longer-term IVD and point of care. All of these diagnostic houses now have many of our units: Abbott, Quest, LabCorp, Siemens, Roche, and the management team that we have is well positioned, we believe, for this segment. So starting off, you know, we really are at the crossroads of technology and healthcare by digitizing the ELISA, a tried-and-proven technology and assay for many years in protein. And basically, what it's allowed us to do is instead of seeing disease very late stage with a very invasive procedure, seeing it early stage non-invasively through blood and urine as well as saliva. And so that technology, in general, the reason we want to focus on the protein initially is that we do see a lot of evidence that the protein is the one thing that changes. With a lot of these identical twin studies, they start out with the exact same DNA, but as time goes on and they get subjected to environmental factors, their protein cascades shift. And that's what makes protein so phenotypic and so valuable as a molecular asset to be diagnosing early detection. And so this slide just shows you on the y-axis the level of invasiveness, and on the x-axis the timing of when you detect the actual disease. And you can see that cancer and neuro, typically when you find out you have a disease, it's pretty late stage. Many times the symptoms do not appear until you're in stage 3 or 4, sometimes even posthumously for CTE and certain types of Alzheimer's. And now there's these publications that we have from third-party neurologists and oncologists that have been deploying the technology in cohorts, facing the scrutiny of these publications and getting their work published. And we think this is in a very important area of focus. And you can see in the red box, the current detection levels that are the standard in the industry don't allow you to see these diseases until late stage when the concentration of these proteins are very high. What we've done is we've basically allowed the ability to go in and look at femtogram per ml levels, and by doing so, we can then get to baseline levels of the proteins, and so any movement from baseline gives you a much earlier indication of the disease. And on the invasiveness side, typically if you are going very invasive with a cerebral spinal fluid spinal tap, you can get high protein concentrations, but it's a very painful, it's a very invasive and even risky procedure. But as you try to lower the invasiveness to, let's say, blood, saliva, or urine, the protein level, once again, is very low. So the combination of early detection, which is low protein levels, as well as non-invasive, is really the goal of taking our sensitivity and deploying it to create a lot of value creation opportunities. So we start with the execution side of the business, which is research, which is today a $1 billion market. It's $4 billion when you consider all the molecular sides of it. We started out in neurology where we have about 10% penetration right now, about $35 million of our revenue in 2019 is coming from neurology with the HDX and the SRX. We just launched in 2019 at SPX, which is going to allow us to start moving into oncology where Luminex MSD and others participate. And we today have hardly any position, but we think we can disrupt by seeing the cytokines in the immune system at baseline levels. And then you can see when you move this body of evidence to the right, it's just a small sliver in the $40 billion aspirational side of diagnostics. And the area that we're most intrigued with is this neuro to start, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, being able to see brain health in blood. So today I did want to indicate that the level of publications that we had in 2019 was off the charts. We're almost getting a publication a day now from third-party neurologists and oncologists. In the second category here, you can see the number of biomarkers that are being run in our technology continues to grow very nicely. And then you can see that there's been a really good uniform growth that's occurred here. It's a pretty formidable growth. And what I do want to announce today that in Q4, we had another 46% growth, plus or minus 4%. And for the full year, we now believe we're going to have $56 million, almost $57 million of revenue, which represents another 50% plus growth year for us. And on the right, you can see not only is the revenue growing, but you're going to see in a moment 400 basis points of gross margin improvement year to date. We launched these key products, HDX and SPX, and our growth in consumables, showing that this technology is really getting deployed, was greater than 75%. For the full year. We also raised $120 million fairly productively with a very good stock price in 2019, giving us a very strong balance sheet. We acquired Uman, a third of it. We actually paid using stock at the $30 level, and this is a very critical antibody pair that no one in the world could make that we've now protected our supply of, and now offensively Siemens and Techne are taking supply from us through a license and a supply agreement. The NFL is also a key future with all these publications for MS and many of the neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's. And this incredible cascade of publications is fueling our growth. And we are in a new facility with a strengthened team. And we did have a standing room only Pyron Precision Health Summit in Barcelona a couple months ago. So we're very much energized opposite this evolution of the business. I wanted to show this slide that starts to break down the various components of the business. The first box on the left is our accelerator services, and it's just showing through 3 quarters. You can see that 3 quarters worth of revenue is equal to what we had in 2018. But the number of third-party and peer-reviewed trials, the drug trials that we're running in-house, up to 88 now, which is a key criteria for future differentiation and ability to create some companion diagnostic opportunities. You can see that our instruments have continued to grow. The installed base, this is just through three quarters, is up to 370 instruments. But what's really intriguing is a growth catalyst of that middle box of instruments. For 3 years, we had very flat revenue on instruments. And then we started to invest in putting out smaller instruments and boxes to democratize the technology. And you can see how rapidly the revenue grew up for 2018. And even in 2019, just through three quarters, we already surpassed 2018. We had a very strong Q4. So we are now seeing an inflection point of instrument growth, which already, even with the flat instrument growth, we saw this very strong surge of consumable growth, which now is almost half of our business, which is very nice. It's the highest gross margin component, and you can see that it's been growing very steadily. Interestingly, the utilization, what we've done is we've calculated all the instrument value over the years and how much is installed, and we said what percent of that instrument value of revenue that we collected are we collecting each year in annuities? And 35% for the first 3 years is what we were collecting annually for the consumable pull-through. But we've been expanding our kits. We've been moving from homebrew to kits which provide the antibody pairs, and we've also increased and improved the performance of our instruments. And by doing so, we're now, for the last 3 years, at 50% pull-through, and even this year, we're at 60%. So we've continued to crop up that line, and that's what's allowed this significant revenue growth in the consumables. And on the right-hand side, you can see that good mix effect coupled then with just the diffusion of fixed cost creates a very nice gross margin movement. 70% is where we think our long-term goal will be for gross margin. Geographies, you can see with the advent of some newer products, we're starting to grow now in Asia, which was key for us. We also have increased our position in academia, which we think is important because of publications. So we spend a lot of time really nurturing our academic KOLs. And then on the disease front, you can see our neurology continues to grow very rapidly, and we've just begun to move into oncology. And then on the right, you can see the growth for consumables has been 91% year to date, and instruments have been 70%, as well as services at 35%. So this next slide just shows you against the strategic goals that we presented last year at this time, we just knocked it out of the park in every category, starting first with neurology. Blew away the utilization number that we had indicated we'd go for. We launched the HDX, which is a really showcase technology to replace the HD1. We also launched the SRX 1.1 into neurology. We launched the SPX into oncology. We actually did sell 10 units, which we expected that was going to be very slow, and so we're very excited about getting out of the gates quickly in oncology. And then in the strategy front, we did acquire Uman and a Siemens license, and we did 50-plus drug trials. And then the financials, we've mentioned the growth that we've had there, and then the 100x sensitivity improvement, which we already can see a market for it based on many of our customers are deploying the high sensitivity in the cerebral spinal fluid, and they're finding post-translational modification proteins that are at a much lower subset level. They're now wanting to see them in blood. So we know when we can get to 100x, we're going to actually be moving science into a whole new realm and ushering in a whole new capability to stratify different types of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, as well as now moving into oncology and liquid biopsies. So our company basically sells instruments. Two of those are bead-based, which are the HDX, the newest instrument. We just launched a quarter early. We charged $200,000 for it. We got 258 HD1 HDXs now installed. It's fully automated, and it's primarily focused on neuro. The little benchtop for neuro is called the SRX at $75,000. We now have 118 of those installed. We just launched that a little over a year ago. And then the SPX, we mentioned we put 10 of those out. 13 is the total installed base now. That's 75,000 for primarily oncology. And you can see now we've got 180 different kits in the planar or in the assay kit category. 100 of those are for plates for planar and 80 are bead-based. And that is a very good way to accelerate our revenue. And NFL was a homebrew at one time, 3 years ago, now represents 33% of our revenue this year when you look at it across how it's impacted all categories of our revenue. It's a major opportunity for us going forward. And you can see this HDX, it does have a 20% higher price, better gross margins, more reliable, pulls through 20% more consumables. We got good feedback to date, and we've actually sold 55 units. That was a lot more than we expected to do. 25 of those are actual sales of new units, and 30 of those are trade-ins, which we're extending the trade-in program. We know that the trade-in puts a little pressure on short-term margins as we trade in the HD1s, but in the long term, it creates a lot of value for the company. So we're accelerating as best we can. A little bit of short-term pressure on margins is important. It's not going to go negative. It's still going to keep growing our gross margins. It's just not going to grow quite as quickly as we've done while we do this trade-in, but then it'll expand and accelerate once we get more of the HDXs in. We actually hope by end of the year in 2020 to have 50% of our HD installed base be HDXs, which is a very fast transformation. So sensitivity enables smaller samples. It could be a blood prick that you then dilute up those samples. It can eliminate a lot of accuracy issues by diluting and eliminating matrix effects. You can see disease earlier, as we mentioned. But when you use multiplex, when you want to run 10 different analytes at the same time, you actually consume some sensitivity. So we're actually building a bank of additional sensitivity headroom that we use for any of these reasons when we are creating our differentiation strategy and competing against the various competitors that are out there. And future-proofing, we know there's a lot of new proteins being discovered based on our using our technology in the cerebral spinal fluid, that this is going to allow companies that buy our technology to be ready for that next molecule that could be low abundance. And so we are continuing to evolve our sensitivity. As you can see here, this is just a chart showing the various competitors and where they sit. And we really believe that for all those reasons on the left, it's important for us to continue to make this investment. And this slide just shows that we already have found in our new investments a 40X prototype, 40X improvement in the sensitivity, and we're ultimately going for 100X by the end of the year in 2021, and we feel pretty good that we're making good progress against that, and we will be the leader in all of these categories once we achieve that. So how is this getting deployed today? It's primarily to help drugs get approved, lowering toxicity by lowering the dose of the drug when you apply it to a disease earlier stage. And then it's easier for a drug to work when it's earlier stage. That combination has given a 300% improvement. If you have a phase one approval, moving to phase three and getting an approval, if you use biomarkers, you can significantly enhance your ability to get a drug approved. And you can see even at CROs now, the Quests, the LabCorps, there's now 46 of our units there, and that's a big consumer of the consumables. And then even inside now, we've run 88 drug trials. Interestingly, there's $800 billion of neuro challenge in the United States alone right now. That's the cost of post-traumatic stress disorder, the opioid crisis, the big bolus of Alzheimer patients that we're going to have over the next 20 years. The NIH is now investing heavily into this whole area. One of our investors in one of the one-on-ones mentioned that it was oncology back in the 2010s, and they're now saying this next decade is really going to be focusing on neuro. So our timing is very good to be able to see brain health in blood. And the FDA has actually issued guidance now using biomarkers to get drugs approved, and this is further adding excitement to the possibility of our technology. So these are the research and the biopharma companies and CROs that bought our product by the time of 2015, and by 2017, this is where we were. And now I'm happy to report this is where we are at 2019. So there's a nice explosion of across the board of most pharmas trying to get drugs approved utilizing the technology. As we move to the right side and the aspirational side, we're really going to hone in on trying to get a neurology toolkit in blood, looking at liquid biopsies as an opportunity, and then point of care. And in the area of looking at neuro in blood, this NFL, you can see the number of publications has just accelerated and going off the charts. There's 46 active trials right now utilizing NFL as an endpoint. And it really is being applied for neuronal health across any neurodegenerative disease, Parkinson's, ALS, Alzheimer's, as well as MS, even CTE is being considered. So these are a key opportunity. We think it should be like the cholesterol of the brain. Everyone should know at some point their NFL levels to know whether their neurons are dying at a pace faster than age would normally predict. And here is just a lot of examples of drug companies using it as an endpoint and further studying the role of NfL and how they can see disease much earlier in blood with NfL versus waiting on an MRI or a scan to see the impact of, say, an MS disease cascade on the body. We bought Oman, and just as an example, that on the right-hand side, you can see that detecting NfL in blood, no one really could do it with any of the antibodies that we tried to source. You can see all the dots at the bottom. None of them could see it in blood. Many of them could see it in CSF, but not blood. And Oman was the only pair that could. And then on the left side, you can see the number of publications, and 100% of those in blood are based on the Oman antibody pair. And so getting this was a key defensive move, and now that we've gotten it, we found that there's a nice offensive opportunity there as well. We mentioned earlier there's 15 drugs for MS, 22 billion. It takes 2.5 years with MRI to see brain atrophy from MS, and so it takes a long while for a doctor to know whether an MS patient is on a good drug. With NfL, they believe within months they can see it in blood, and so this is key opportunity area for these 15 drugs and trying to make sure that the drug is bringing NfL levels down quicker so you know that you are on the right drug. And it could be the difference between dying standing up or dying in a wheelchair for an MS patient. So we think getting them on the right drug quicker is a great first volley way for us to evolve our NfL franchise into the diagnostic sector. We just ran a trial, 17 different sites around the world, 17 different labs, 17 different users, and got the same exact results for the NfL test. That's the first step of what we call analytical validity of the technology. And on the right-hand side, we're just plotting from some researchers in Basel age versus the NfL level in blood. And now they're running an 11,000 patient cohort of, these are actually healthy populations, seeing what their NfL level is. Once this is done, we're going to be working. Tatiana joined us from Biogen. She's in the audience. 3 months ago, she was there 18 years running NfL and being a leader in Biogen. She is now leading up our clinical validity, trying to evolve this with the FDA. So we're hoping these two data points, once they're complete, the trial on the right being run by these neurologists in Europe, we'll be able to start to have a dialogue with the FDA soon this year, by mid-year, knowing maybe a course to further evolve our NfL in the clinic. This is an exciting chart, I think one of the most exciting in the presentation. On the left-hand side, Roche has a neuro toolkit, but it takes a very invasive spinal tap of cerebral spinal fluid to look at all of these different biomarkers for all those diseases in the arrow, whether it be Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's. On the right-hand side, you can see us building this out in blood. This is a key evolution and a key disruption to be able to see brain health correlated in blood versus that other procedure, we think opens up a 10 to 100x market opportunity. And even in Alzheimer's, someday we see blood tests being screens and then monitoring whether you are benefiting from the drug. There's some researchers in a publication have seen AD NfL levels elevate 16 years before dementia. This was a key pivotal seminal publication that came out last year. CNN broadcasted it, and then we actually have, for measuring amyloid beta in blood, a 98% under the curve compared to seeing it in imaging. So we're pretty excited that these can be pathways when drugs are approved to really monitor and manage patients in this cohort. We mentioned powering precision health. You can see we bring all these speakers in from around the world, all these sponsors on the left-hand side. Thank you to JP Morgan. They're one of our key sponsors. And you can see a lot of pharmas and biotechs as well, and diagnostic companies. In 2020, we're going to do it in Boston. We hope to have as many as 75 speakers over 2 days, focusing on neuro and onco, and all the investors are invited to hear that. And this is our slide that just shows our key objectives for 2020, and it's just on the execution side, we're going to keep growing the installed base with these new instruments that we've launched, and then keep increasing the utilization across that installed base. And we think it's a pretty good opportunity for us to have a lot of value creation at fairly low risk on the left execution side, while then starting to do some research around these three key areas of opportunity in the diagnostic sector moving forward. And so in summary, Execution is our focus for 2020 on the left, and then we are starting to build out our strategy for the aspirational opportunity in diagnostics. We think we have a market that is unprecedented for utilizing this sensitivity for detecting and validating through all the trials and the publications, and the penetration throughout the markets, both in research and diagnostics, is our goal. And we have a group of people that are very motivated within our company to continue to drive this. So we thank you very much and look forward to the breakout session, which is across the hall, Yorkshire Room. Thank you very much.